B-Pod Studios.
Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
And Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub, coming to you from the Town Fair Tire Studio. Until the Beasley Media Group or the government tells me I can't, I'm showing up.
So you need to stop mentioning the government telling you can't, because you're just inviting them to do this.
I'm poking the man.
You are. You're poking the bear.
Don't poke the man, Daddy-O. All right, Bruce Arians, I won't. But we are now at a new time, 10-1 for the foreseeable future. That is because we are going to be running classic games at various times on weekends for the foreseeable future. Starting today, we're done at 1 because the Bruins-Leafs Game 7 from 2013, the Take That Reimer You Bum game, will be on right after we wrap up. Then the Celtics-Wizards playoff game 2 from 2017, that's the Isaiah Thomas 53-point game, which I'm sure you remember.
Ooh, yes,
well.
I remember. Also, yeah. Terry Rozier knocked down a big corner three in that game.
Also, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Patriots-Ravens, the 2014 playoff game, where the Pats were down 14 points twice, followed by the Patriots-Jaguars AFC Championship from that 2018 season. So that is tomorrow. So again, we'll be rebroadcasting classic games at various times on weekends for the foreseeable future here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And hopefully that will wet your proverbial sports whistle. That Pats-Jaguars AFC Championship game, that, you know, I mean, like, we've had 20 years of ridiculous success with that franchise in the Brady Belichick era and all these games. But that one gets overlooked. That was a great game.
It was a great game.
And Stephon Gilmore, arguably his biggest player as a member of the play as a member of the Patriots, when he stops that last pass by Blake Bortles, where he, you know, stretches out, and it's made for the great photo, but hell of a play there.
Tremendous play. And it also, you know, typical Patriots championship game, and that, you know, they got a fortuitous call there with the Miles Jack
thing. Oh, yeah.
They really lucked out on that one.
Oh, they most certainly did. But in this final hour, it's pretty much everything on the table, and we've been sort of Brady-heavy here for the last hour, and rightfully so. As I said in the headlines, it is weird to put that whole thing together. It is starting to really sink in. Granted, with the state of the world, there's more of us. There's more on our collective minds, but as we get more into it and closer to the football season, like Tampa Bay, I almost did a Patriot quarterback. No, Tampa Bay quarterback Tom Brady. It's a weird sequence. It really is. Chris in New Hampshire on the Patriots. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, first off, I just want to give you guys a good recommendation for a docuseries you guys can watch. McMillions on HBO.
McDonald's. My wife watched this, and I saw some of it, and it seemed very good.
Yeah,
that's really good.
I wrapped that up. I heard Beetle talking about it yesterday. It's good. It's like three episodes too long. It's a bit drawn out. There was times I was like finding myself falling asleep during it.
Okay, I can agree with that a little bit. But what I want to get to with the Patriots is, what do you guys think about if we were to possibly trade Gilmore for a first round pick? Hope that Belichick can, you know, draft right with a deep wide receiver class, grab one of them, and hopefully try to get Jordan Love with the 23rd, and then have him and Stidham compete for the next few years.
Wow. What would you make of that? I've heard a few people now, like, and this isn't a straw man.
Yeah, I agree.
Talking about trading Stephon Gilmore.
Well, like, people are high on J.C. Jackson. They've invested, you know, Jason McCourty's back. They signed Jonathan Jones, and they have Juwan Williams, and, you know, Bill's obviously going to draft another cornerback this year. The question is, will it be someone who can play, or will it be Duke Dawson or, you know, Cyrus Jones? So they love to draft corners. I think it's smart business to draft corners. If you can get guys who can play, or if you can draft a guy like a J.C. Jackson who was undrafted, or find that guy, then you might be able to move on. I mean, this could be a little, sort of, you know, like the Malcolm Butler type of situation where they feel like, okay, you know, we can move on from Darrell Revis because we have Malcolm Butler. Maybe they feel like they can move on from Gilmore because they feel like J.C. Jackson's ready to take that next step.
And so Jordan Love, this is who Mel Kiper of ESPN,
yes,
their draft nick, has the Patriots taking with their first-round pick to a number 23 overall. I would hate that because it would it would signify that they really didn't have a plan at quarterback. I feel like what they've done here with Brady moving on, they bring in Hoyer. Hoyer to me coming in means you're the backup, right? You tell me that I have to believe that he's the backup and Stidham's a guy going forward. If they were to take Love or maybe Jake Fromm or anyone else at 23, it feels to me like you really didn't know what the hell you were doing. And then you just sent me this thing too. We were talking about it for a few minutes earlier,
yeah.
From behind the ESPN paywall from Aaron Schatz, Football Insiders.
And Aaron does a great job.
Basically breaking down why Jordan Love is risky. I mean, he looks the part. He's 6'4" and kind of a cannon for an arm, but it just feels like it'd be a project. Like, you need help on defense. Take a linebacker. Try to maybe get Stidham some help because. Yeah. I would hate to see them take one of these kind of project quarterbacks at 23.
Well, let me go through Jordan Love here and just this thing that Aaron did, and then I'll mention another player whose name has come up with the Patriots. So they have this thing where they break this down using advanced statistics that they've come up with, and they basically break it down into a couple of categories, trying to project where this player will be in 3 to 5 years. And here are the categories: bust, adequate starter, upper tier, and elite. Elite would be Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady in his prime.
Yep.
So those are the ones. Here's the percentage breakdown on Jordan Love. Bust, 64%.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's high. Adequate starter, 23%. So now there's an 87% chance that he's not good enough. Upper tier, 10%. Elite, 2%. And see, that's what scares me. And this is another interesting stat from the story. They do a lot of stuff here in terms of yards per attempt and adjusted yards per attempt and all this other stuff and stats that they have. Over the past decade, the only top 100 pick with a lower adjusted yards per attempt in his final college season than Jordan Love was C.J. Beathard.
Oh, God.
So would you use a first-round pick on C.J. Beathard?
No, and I've liked how he's looked in that offense, but that's probably more about Kyle Shanahan.
He got beat up by Nick Mullins,
yeah,
Jim.
Right.
Nick Mullins is better than C.J. Beathard.
Yeah, so no. No, that's terrible. No, I don't want a project quarterback in any. I mostly agree with you, and you follow it more than I do. But outside of a guy like Tua or Herbert at Oregon, the rest of these guys are one big question mark. I like Fromm, but there's some of those games I watch. And it's like,
I think Fromm is like
he's like a game manager-ish type.
I think he's closer to the Brian Hoyer, Ken Dorsey ilk of guys than he is. Like, best case scenario for Fromm in my mind, he's Chad Pennington, which is not bad. I mean, Pennington's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
That's not bad, but I just don't think he'll ever be elite. Here's the other name I wanted to bring up that people are connecting with the Patriots. Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma. How do you feel about him?
I think he's a good college story. He's Tebow-y. I didn't like him at Alabama. He was obviously better in Oklahoma, but I think that that's more of the offense that they run there than anything else. Hurts is a great story for how he turned things around at Oklahoma, but I don't know. Watching him at Alabama, like when they went from him to Tua, it was like, oh, wow, now they actually have a real quarterback.
Now they can throw.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened. I covered that game in your former town of Atlanta with that great Georgia-Alabama game where Saban made the brilliant decision to bring in true freshman Tua. And bench Hurts, which really, I mean, that took a lot of stones.
Unprecedented,
it really was. I mean, that was a brilliant decision by Saban. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that it was more the offense at Oklahoma. I watched a lot of Oklahoma games. Again, I'm not a scout, but when you watch him play, a lot of what he does is sort of based on that great Lincoln Riley spread from the passing standpoint, and then he looks to run a lot. I don't think he's great at reading defenses, and I think when he gets in trouble, he looks to run. And that's not going to work in the NFL. So this is what they say about him. They say that he has a 51% chance of being a bust, but a 25% chance of being an adequate starter, a 16% chance of being upper tier, and a 7% chance of being elite. So the projection there
is better than
is a lot better than Love. I mean, they're really looking at this and telling you there's a 48% chance that you would want Jalen Hurts as your quarterback.
And where do most draft geeks have him going? Like fourth?
Third, fourth round? Yeah. So Jalen Hurts maybe is your Russell Wilson, your Dak Prescott in this draft. And he has a skill set that you don't currently have on your roster. Again, I know it sounds like I'm in a situation where I'm stumping for him. I'm not. I actually don't want them to draft him because I don't think he's going to be this type of quarterback. But this story opened my eyes a little bit on him. And if they took him, I could swallow it because at worst, he gives you like another option to do some stuff that
you typically don't do.
You typically don't do.
Yeah. So I can live with them drafting a quarterback in the third, fourth round. That's fine. That's more of a project and someone that, again, with a different skill set, like him that they can work with. I just, if you use 23 overall, it really, again, it reeks to me like you really didn't have a plan whatsoever. You thought Brady was coming back. Well, that was the plan, right?
Like, they don't have a plan.
Yeah. All right.
And they'll still be fine because Bill's great.
Sure.
And he'll make plan F look like plan A. But then I'm going to be annoyed when all these people call up or email and say
this was the plan.
This was plan
all
A. No, it wasn't.
Phil and Stoneham on the Patriots. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hey, Phil.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Not too much. Been a fan of Big Jim since FNX, so I've heard you about you for a while.
Oh, well, thank you.
Worst Patriots moves of all time. Remember the guy that played the tuba? The Patriots had him for, like, I think, two seasons. Does he still rank as, like, one of the worst people they ever had on the team?
Jordan Devey, well, where was he drafted? I don't think he was, like, somewhere in the second round, like, Rozai Dowling.
But I remember Belichick having a big thing for him, like, where he kept, like, putting him out there every week, and he was obviously not prepared. He was just terrible. And they kept, like, playing him. And that was sort of, if you agreed with me, like, as far as, like, bad moves, and Belichick's ego, like, does that stand out to you as one of those types of situations? And I'll hang up right now and listen to your opinion.
Thanks, Phil. No, Jordan Devey doesn't bug me as much as other draft whiffs. You know, look at the second round, which I don't think he's hit on in quite some time.
Well, you still have that Cyrus Jones.
Cyrus Jones, terrible. Again, so you didn't have that was their first pick that year, but even though he was a second rounder, like, a lot of the second rounders have blown up in their face. Even established vet guys that they've brought in. Like, you know which one I think is underrated that really bugged me from last year is Mike Pennell.
Yeah, I agree. And he went on to play.
And win a championship with the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. And actually, you know, again, if you were paying attention to some of those playoff games, he was standing out in some of those playoff games for the
Chiefs.
Great
point, Jim.
That annoyed the hell out of him.
Well, you know, look, Brett Bielema was clearly a great defensive line coach and knew more than Mike Pennell and Michael Bennett. Or he was just a friend of Bill who got a free job.
That's exactly what it was. You know, and so, like, some guys, they just, so it turns out Coney Ealy had a lot of stuff going on in his life. But at the time, like, that annoyed the hell out of me because I remember the 5 sacks in that Super Bowl loss for Carolina. And it's like, ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I fully endorsed that move at the time. Even Cooks, they had him for a year.
Yeah. But, Mike Pennell last year, that one burns my ass because I remember guys like, you know, Greg Bedard, who really pays attention to what's going on in the trenches, thought that that was going to be one of their more underrated signings of the offseason. And then you hear throughout training camp, like, nope, he's on the outs, it's not working. And then, again, you see him with the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. It's like, oh, look who made a play there. Oh, look who made a play there. Oh, the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl. You couldn't have got that out of him? Like, and again, it's because one of the Bobos that he had on the staff that he had some sort of beef with. That annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Michael Bennett one was a big swing and
miss. Nice. Yeah.
You know, even like a guy like Dwayne Allen, who was a solid blocker, I mean, he wasn't great. Like, if he were better at tight end, maybe you'd be in a better, you know, standpoint from that position. You look at that position and you'd have more there. So, look, but you could do this with every team. Singling out, but it is a little disappointing when you look at it. Sometimes they need to transition to a different era, and they maybe could be better set up to do it if they'd hit on more of these transactions.
All right, so could all of this concern about the Patriots next year, could it just be solved by them bringing in Cam Newton, you know, 5 years removed from an MVP season? It was teammate of Coney Ealy in that Super Bowl. Could that be solved by bringing in Cam? We'll get to that next. Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gaspar Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. I don't know for sure. I'm assuming this is Tame Impala. Do you know, B-Rob? Is that who this is we're coming back here with? The bumper music, as we call it here in the biz.
It says Agony and Irony.
Agony and Irony. Agony and Irony. No, that's not what it is. Let's look it up here. Agony and Irony. No, that's just the name of the band? Alkaline Trio? From Alkaline Trio?
It does say Tame on the top of it.
Oh, yeah. Then it's next song coming up. Tame Impala. That's who it is. I know they're... Because you know what it is? I typically listen to them when I'm getting my massage, which, selfishly, and this is where I'm going to really sound like a bougie douche, but I can't help it. That might be the thing I miss the most. We've all had to make sacrifices, right? Some more than others, and it's just going to get worse, and, you know, we live in hell now. But personally and selfishly, man, that massage. Because the massage keeps me sane, and I've been under the impression, this is how I feel about the massage, very important, Chris. If you can afford one, I think you should treat yourself to one every single month. Keeps you living longer. Gets all the toxins and the craziness out. And now I've lost my massage, and it's making me crazy. All right, Cam Newton. Is he the bomb that could soothe the Patriots fans that are freaking out and be like, oh, we have no plan here. Jarrett Stidham, I don't trust him. Is Cam Newton the answer? He gets released sort of unceremoniously by the Carolina Panthers earlier this week. You knew this was coming after they signed Teddy Bridgewater. It felt like these two were kind of going separate ways as soon as the season, well, really even like halfway through last season. Been beat up, but former MVP, 5 years removed from that in 2015, that team that loses one game in the regular season, they end up losing the Super Bowl to the Broncos. Cam Newton, would you be interested in him if he was able to at least come in on a somewhat team-friendly deal?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Yesterday on Felger and Maz, I said no to this because I think that he's taken such a beating over the years and that he might be losing his best attribute, his legs. But then... someone DM'd me that maybe the Patriots are talking to Cam Newton. I have no idea if that's true. I would, you know, just, but we do a radio show. We engage and we trade in rumor and conjecture. So I'll throw it out there. So I was like, yeah, that's kind of interesting. And then
is it just some rando or someone with a blue check mark? Is it someone that works in football?
I would say it's not someone with a blue check mark or someone who works in football. I don't know if I'd call them a rando, but
did it also come with a picture of a hog? Like, I mean, sliding into the DMs, it's a risky
move. Yeah. But then I saw this. This is interesting, and this is why I think this maybe could be a possibility if they can clear their cap space and if Cam's willing to take one of those make-good Patriots deals with a ton of incentives. This is from Bucky Brooks, NFL.com. Here are some numbers with Newton. He has posted his best passer rating against any opponent, 128.2, while completing 71.9% of his passes and averaging 7.07 yards per rush against the Patriots.
Oh, he always killed them. Absolutely.
He's had his
killed.
Best games, yeah. And that always resonates with Bill. That always resonates with him. So I could see this, and I think Josh McDaniels would have some fun with him. So I'm kind of coming around to this. I mean, when I think about what the other options are, Stidham, who we just don't know. I mean, Stidham could be great. Stidham could be Jimmy G 2.0. Stidham could be Brady 2.0. I don't know. Nobody knows. And Hoyer, I think we know what Brian is. He's a very good backup. He can get you through a half dozen games. I don't love this draft for quarterbacks. I'd rather see them draft a quarterback next year. So where does that leave us, Jim? I think it leaves us where we all thought we were before this offseason started and the whole situation with Brady. They need a bridge quarterback for a year or two. And if that guy's Cam Newton, why not? Roll the dice.
I'm a no. And I liked him. I think he's kind of gotten, throughout his career, I think he's kind of gotten an unfair shake because people look at the outfits that he wears in post-game press conferences and they think it's... he's too much of a weirdo and whatever. I just think he's cooked. I don't think he's been the same guy since that Super Bowl. I think he's taken way too much of a beating. And I think he does rely on, you know, his athleticism and always typically looks to run. And he's just going to end up getting himself more hurt. The left foot and the right shoulder are going to continue to be an issue. And I know, like, he's put out some workout videos so far. People are like, look at him. I can tell you firsthand, when the working down in Atlanta, when the Falcons signed Steven Jackson, he's the most impressive physical human being I've ever seen in my entire life standing right next to him at that training camp. And he was kind of cooked when he got there, and he was definitely cooked when he got here. Don't be fooled by Cam Newton with his shirt off. I think he's done. And at the risk of contradicting myself what I just did say about all the outfits and everything, like I do wonder now in the last couple of years how much he does care about football at this point too.
If he were maybe this will light a fire under him, though.
Maybe.
Something to prove. Bill loves that, too. Veteran guys with something to prove, a la Rodney Harrison.
I just feel it's more about, if they were to do something like this particular team, it's more about the buzz factor more than anything else. Like, hey, we're bringing in Cam Newton. See, we're not going to be a mess. We had a plan. He's a name. It's about, you know, making sure we don't lose any asses in seats. And they're not going to, you know, if they had if they had sustainable suck for 2-3 years, then you might start losing fans and tickets would be readily available. But they're not going to lose it this year. People will be starved for football regardless if you had a mannequin starting a quarterback post Tom Brady. But I just, I don't know. I do think the Cam Newton thing would be more about the buzz factor and see we're not going to be in a bad shape. We're still going to be a playoff caliber team. I'm just all set. I think that he would still try to run too much. He'd take a beating. It wouldn't be sustainable. I really don't think so. So I'm good. Even if he were to come in on short money, I think you should go with the younger guy. And maybe that's Stidham. Maybe it's someone they draft. But if you were to bring in Cam Newton, ultimately, Chris, you're pausing the reset. Because now you're in reset mode. You're moving on from Tom Brady. Tom Brady's moved on from you.
I think they're kind of in retool mode. They want to do this on the fly, though, Jim, which is clear. Like, they don't want to do a full reset rebuild. I think Bill has no interest in that, especially as he's trying to chase down Don Shula. They want to do this on the fly. And if you're going to do it on the fly, a quarterback like this can help. And I'll be honest, his numbers, I forgot about this, but his numbers from the last healthy season he had, 2018, they're pretty good. Do you know he completed 68% of his passes, threw 24 touchdowns and 13 picks, and had a 94.2 rating? I mean, if he can do that in Carolina, imagine what he can do with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
I'm coming around on this.
Yeah. I can tell.
I changed my mind.
Adam in Newburyport, what do you think? Should the Pats be in on Cam Newton?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, the bridge quarterbacks, I mean, I'd rather have Cam Newton than Hoyer for, like I don't know, like three reasons. His mobility, his arm if he stays healthy, and hell, he probably sell more jerseys than most of the quarterbacks we got. I'll leave it at that and let you guys talk.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I know we're concerned about the shoulder, and that's legit with you. But in the Patriots offense, how much do you have to throw it down the field? It's all like short passes. I mean, if you said to me, I don't know if he's accurate enough, or I don't know if he can read defenses fast enough, then I'd say fine. But in terms of the shoulder, it would just be dink and dunk. You know, I think he can do that. Now, he might not be the running quarterback he's been in the past, but he's still, even this version of Cam Newton would be the best running quarterback they'd have on the roster. Here's would be my one area of concern that we talked about yesterday on Felger and Maz. If he comes here, he's the starter no matter what. And if you have to bench him, you have to cut him. Because there's no way. He's not going to sit behind Stidham. And I can't see him coming here and Bill saying, okay, you have to compete with Jared Stidham, Brian Hoyer, and Jalen Hurts for this job. There's no way.
All right, so you're talking yourself into it. But be objective. Where do you think throughout the league is the best fit for him?
The Chargers.
See, I think it's Buffalo.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. As much as I've kind of dogged him here, he's certainly better than Josh Allen. That offense, I mean, so Josh Allen, you know, relies on his athleticism and is quick to take off.
Yep.
I think if Buffalo had Cam Newton, that would work. He's better than what Josh Allen is. I think that would be a really good
fit. I think
they're
committed to Josh Allen.
No, they're idiots.
And I think they like the fact they have a quarterback on the cheap. You know, he's on the rookie contract. So I think, look, Cam Newton's working out with Tyrod Taylor. I saw that on social media the other day, and I can't believe the Chargers are going to go into their new stadium, SoFi Stadium in L.A., and they're going to say, we have to sell Tyrod Taylor as our franchise quarterback. I mean, just from a pure business standpoint, they need Cam Newton.
Kevin in New Hampshire on Cam. Would you be in on him for the Patriots?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I would. Although I'd like to see him only on a pocket type environment, actually.
Yeah, so Kevin, and I'm going to let you go because your phone sucked. it did.
I didn't think it was that bad. You're spending too much time with Felger.
I would think that he would need to change his game. You know, like I because if you're going to try to keep taking off, you're going to take a beating and you'll be done. Like that's why I'm a no, because he's just gotten cooked. He's taken way too many hits. So I think Cam Newton, if he were to be able to change his game, become more of an accurate passer, okay, you might be able to talk me into it, but he has to change his mentality.
You're right. I agree with that. I do agree with that, Jim, but I think that could be a win-win. In other words, if you're Cam Newton and you know in order to be able to prolong your career and extend your longevity, you need to change your game, and the Patriots have a need for a franchise-type quarterback. Well, you work together. What better place if you're Cam Newton to learn how to play quarterback a different way is there than New England with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels?
Got a couple open lines. You want to join us? We'll get onto as many phone calls as we can in our second-to-last segment. Coming up next, you want to weigh in on Cam Newton. You want him as a member of the Patriots. Will that make you feel better post-Tom Brady? 617-779-0985. Back after this, Gasper Murray.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get it out, stupid. Couple of segments to go. Final segment will be five questions for Chris Gasper. Have nothing to do with sports. But to your phones we go. We've been talking about Cam Newton. You want him as a quarterback for the Patriots next year. Will that make you feel better post-Tom Brady? Jim in Wista. You're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Jim.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Big fan of the show. Thanks. Legitimately my favorite show of the week, you guys.
Oh, thanks.
We really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, it's entertaining. But the quarterback I haven't heard anybody talk about and I don't know how readily available he is Robert Griffin III, the backup with the Ravens. He's in the last year of his contract, making $600,000 a year. And if we're looking for a stopgap quarterback for short money to help out with the cap, he might be the guy.
You still think he has starter potential at this point in his career?
Now, if you saw him in the last game of the season, and I know it's the last game of the season, yeah. But he played exceptionally well.
Jim, I'm going to let you go on that. Oh, boy. You know, that's a guy that you'll tell your kids about someday. Like, I remember there was this guy who was a phenom for just one season. In fact, he won the Rookie of the Year. And then he got ruined by his coach and kind of exposed because he was a product of the offense that they ran in Baylor. And he went away. His name was Robert Griffin III. And, boy, did he have a big, gigantic ego there for a time. Nice story from 2012. That's it. That's all.
Well, isn't it amazing when you look at that draft? Like, you know, he's not starter material anymore. Luck's retired.
Right.
It's like the guy that stands out the most is Russell Wilson.
And he was a third round
pick.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Pumped in Jack Pete.
That RG3, boy, he was a blast to watch though that season with the game. Was it against the Vikings? I think it was the game at DC against the Vikings where it was like Vic. You know, that Vic game that I think was also against the Vikings where he took off and ran for like 50, 60 yards. And it's like, holy crap, this guy's like video game speed.
Yeah.
And then they ruined him in that playoff game against Seattle and he was never the same again.
Yep, that's true. It's all true. I just don't think at this stage of his career, I think if you're bringing him in, you know, it's sort of like he's a different player but a different version of a Brian Hoyer. He's a backup. He's a solid backup.
Josh in Northborough, your thoughts on Cam Newton. Go ahead. Josh?
Hey, so all I got to say to the RG3 thing, first of all, is that's really hot take. He's a little bit out of there at this point. But I think Cam Newton, just because of the fact that he's going to bring people to watch the games. Like, I know a lot of people right now that are even thinking about watching, like, the Patriots next year. And just the fact that Cam Newton be there would be a good reason for people to watch, you know?
So that's the one that I actually don't like, Josh, is can you let him go there, B-Rub? I don't know what's going on with the phone screen. But thanks for the call, Josh. That's what I don't like. That's the reason not to bring in Cam Newton is for buzz and to make sure that you don't lose anyone at the gate or, you know, the ratings are going to drop. That's not going to happen anyway because once we get to the football season, and it's going to happen.
I don't know. Kirk Herbstreit said no, Jim.
Well, he deserves a paddling and a fining. No one wants to hear that. Well, this is not the time for negativity. Well, you know, the doctors are saying 12 to 18 months. Shut up. The season's happening.
Well, even if it gets delayed, Jim, look at the positive. That means in like February of next year, we'll have like the NFL for the whole month.
And then, you know, if it does go away, if we flatten the curve, it could be back in the fall. Shut up. Nope. Coronavirus gets its one shot. It's getting it right now. By the fall, it's gone. Don't want to hear your negativity. Don't want to hear your facts and stats and graphs and numbers.
Sure.
Nope.
I got some. So what are you planning to do this summer?
Go out. Because it's going to be gone. Because the heat makes it go away. That's
no,
what
that's
I believe,
true.
Chris.
That is not
yeah,
true.
Well, yeah, the, Chris,
that's
this is
factually
this,
inaccurate,
Chris,
Jim.
This is why
this
I...
This is dangerous. You can't spread misinformation
if
like
Twitter,
this.
Just when I thought Twitter couldn't get worse, I have, and if you want to call me a baby, fine, I am. I've muted every permutation of word to this effing virus on Twitter so that when I open it, I won't see it. And you know what? I still see it. Because people are retweeting the stories, and you're retweeting the graphs, and the numbers, and Fauci, and all this stuff, and it won't go away.
So when are you going to watch that 1918 influenza doc?
Oh, yeah, you too. With a text last week, like, hey, man, I know you've been in a bad space, but you should really watch this documentary about the 1918 pandemic that killed everyone. Like, oh, yeah, no, Chris, I'll put this on for some good timey feels right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but the important thing is people came out the other side, and they came out the other side in such good shape that we basically completely forgot that this has happened before.
I was trying
to lift your spirits.
Here's the thing. Football's going to happen, and people will be so starved for the football that it doesn't matter if you had a roll of paper towels at quarterback for the Patriots next year. The people are going to be there. The ratings are going to be there because the people will be starved for the football and the entertainment. So that's not the reason to bring Cam Newton.
I'll be there in my bounty jersey.
It could be the body man. The brawny man.
The brawny man.
It's a handsome man with a full head of hair and a great bushy mustache. That could be the quarterback. It's we're getting the football. I don't want to hear otherwise.
Really should watch that 1918.
Oh, jeez. I was legitimately mad. Like,
I could tell by your text.
Yeah.
I was trying to be helpful. I legitimately was. And I got the text back, and I was like, ooh, that was a major miscalculation.
What was my pissy response?
You were really pissy about it. Yeah, and I was like, ooh, sorry.
That's just every response back to everyone right now. It's like, don't bother me. Stop texting me with your
facts. I think I even had like a follow-up to your pissy text basically trying to say, no, man, I'm just saying, like, if you watch this thing, like, it all ended well in the end. Like, they came out the other side and life just resorted back to normal.
Where is this thing? Let's see this. Hold on, because I know. Let's see. So, Chris, try to watch this PBS documentary. It actually made me feel better about what's happening now. It's not unprecedented. And while it was a very tough and scary time, life went on afterwards. My pissy response. Appreciate it, but that's a hard no.
Yeah.
I've even taken to muting the words coronavirus and COVID-19 on Twitter. Laughing emoji. I don't want to hear or read another word about it. Just tell me when it's over. Yeah, that's the stance I've taken. I'm a 43-year-old child. How it is. Sal in Florida. Cam Newton, you want him? Hello. Salvatore.
Is this? Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. You got to give him another Larry King.
Sorry, I got distracted. All right. So first off, I wanted to mention that my uncle was a one-year-old survivor of the Spanish flu in Boston.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. So, yeah, because I was doing a computation the other day as I was saving a piece of paper towel to use again later. That my uncle was 12 years old in 1929 at the start of the Depression, which explains why he saved absolutely everything that ever touched his hands for his entire life until the day he died.
Huh.
So there's better times ahead. My uncle survived as a baby the Spanish flu, so don't worry about it.
I will say this, not to go down a rabbit hole at the end of the show, but it is remarkable, like, just how little, at least I knew, or historically, that we referenced that 1918 pandemic. When you think about how devastating it was, and I know you're not going to watch the doc, but there are so many parallels, Jim. It's like literally people walking around in masks, other people being like, oh, this is no big deal. Let's go back to work. Like, it's we always tend to think that whatever's happening to us is either on the good side, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. On the bad side, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. It's completely unprecedented. You watch this documentary. This is not unprecedented at all.
Anything else? What do you got on Cam Newton's show?
Yeah, the reason I called, first of all, you guys, I think you guys are the best show on the Sports Hub, and I look forward to
you
guys
that.
And Five Questions every Saturday. Love it. Now, in evaluating Cam Newton, there's one single play that affects my opinion of him, and I'm shocked that I haven't heard anybody bring this up so far. But I do recall, and I don't remember if it was in the Super Bowl against Denver, if it was again against the Patriots, but do you remember there was a loose ball on the field near the goal line, and rather than dive on the ball, Cam Newton moved away from it. He pulled back from it because he was afraid to get hit.
That was the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was the Super Bowl.
The guy's got no heart. Does not anyone remember that?
Oh, yeah, and Sal, and thank you for the accolades and for the call. That's the one that a lot of people nationally turned on Cam Newton after that, and how he handled himself in that loss, remember? Too?
Yeah, I was there. He was really pissy, and he, like, stormed off.
Yeah. But he recoiled when the ball was on the ground. The game wasn't completely out of hand at that point.
Yeah,
that was a bad
good point. But if you're going to be pissy and, like, not answer questions, this is the perfect place to be.
Well, that's true.
You and the coach will get along great. If you're going to be pissy and not answer questions after a loss, then you're in the right place.
Dan in Boston, you are next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Dan.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Cam Newton definitely will not play for the Patriots unless he plays for the veteran minimum. I think next year Belichick's going to put together a very cheap, mediocre team. I think the franchise is suffering from championship exhaustion, and they're basically going, looks like they're going on the cheap for next year just based on the moves they've already made.
Well, I mean, they have a little bit of a cap situation. You know, I don't think they're going on the cheap. I think that they would like to build the team differently in terms of it's not so much geared to the quarterback, both structurally and financially. And I think that's appealing to Bill. In a way, it's appealing to a lot of teams. If you have a cheaper quarterback, it just gives you a lot more roster flexibility. But this is the part of it that I don't understand. I've said this from the jump. They had the oldest roster in the NFL last year. The average age was the oldest in the NFL. 17 guys they had over 30. And so you're bringing some of those guys back, and I'm glad you are in terms of McCourty and Slater. But then to me, it doesn't make sense to bring some of these guys back and to franchise Joe Tooney at $14.78 million and then turn the thing over to a quarterback that hasn't played before. You know, it's like giving a kid who's still trying to get his license and only has his permit a Ferrari. It doesn't make any sense. He's just going to crash it. So I'd like to have like a steadier hand there. And that's where I think, Jim, they're trying to sort of thread the needle here. And that's the one thing I didn't want was half measures, like going halfway. If you want to rebuild, rebuild.
Yeah.
If you're going to bring veterans back, then you should have a veteran quarterback who can give them a chance to win while they're still in that window, because this is still an aging team defensively. And even we talked about it offensively. Edelman's your best offensive player. He's going to turn 34 in May. So I'm not really sure it makes a ton of sense to go into the year with, you know, Jalen Hurts or Jordan Love or even second-year Jared Stidham as your quarterback. I think you need a more proven commodity under center.
Matt will be our final call of the day here. Matt on Cam Newton. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So with regards to Cam and Bill Belichick, I think if Cam actually wants to win and stop being a baby after games, I think this is the right place. And then I also don't think Belichick cares about his future because, you know, if he's serious about keeping Stidham, you know, for the future or whatever it may be, I don't see Bill having a problem just letting Cam do what he wants and you know, as long as it's within the confines of the system and not really caring if he acts like a baby or whatever the case may be, because Belichick is the guy that ultimately I think he will respect. And you know, he cut AB as soon as it was a problem, so...
Well, and Matt, I'm going to let you. That was reluctant.
Yeah, I was going to say, not really.
Yeah.
And he didn't really cut AB.
Yeah, he didn't want any part of that. That was
ownership
more
cut AB.
Owner that ended up having to do that. And Belichick cares. He's now going to be reinvigorated, too. That's what I think makes this so interesting.
I agree.
And I think he thinks he can win with Stidham or Hoyer or, you know.
I don't blame him. I mean, if I were him, I'd feel the same way. And the other part of it, too, that I look at is that, as you said, you know, he could be reinvigorated there. But when you look at Bill, we're saying, oh, Cam Newton's not a fit from a culture standpoint or a behavioral standpoint. How many guys have we said that about, whether it's Albert Haynesworth or Antonio Brown or, you know, Josh Gordon? I mean, they brought in Josh Gordon. And remember, this is a franchise where one of their mantras is, and it's escaping me now, but essentially, oh, dependability is more important than ability.
Right.
And you're literally bringing in the least dependable guy in the league because he's just that good. He's just that talented. So I think that's my way of saying, I think Bill could overlook some of the things about Cam Newton's personality or his game that maybe don't mesh with Bill's beliefs if he thinks this guy can help him win football games. Because at the end of the day, I think that's how he evaluates players.
We wrap up with five questions for Chris Casper that have nothing to do with sports. Next.
I got five questions for Chris Casper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, we wrap up with the five questions for Chris Casper that have nothing to do with sports. We'll dive right in. Question number one, Chris, can you give me one personal silver lining from this pandemic and being quarantined? Anything. Any silver lining for Chris Casper and company?
Yeah, I mean, I get to spend more time with my wife. That's cool. Like, you know, she's normally gone during the day and I'm working from home or I'm at a practice or something. So we get to spend more time together and we haven't killed each other. So that's a silver lining.
Yeah, the wife and I taking walks around the neighborhood, seeing things we've never actually paid attention to night by night, unless it's raining or the weather's terrible. We have a scheduled walk as soon as I get home. And the good thing about it, the best of all, that scheduled walk usually happens around 6:30. I get to get out at 6 for the foreseeable future. That is a silver lining like you read about.
Oh, I have to say, like, I'm a little nervous in that I really don't miss baseball. And if you told me today that it wasn't coming back, I don't know. I think I'd be okay.
Yeah, I thought about doing it, but I was like, you know what? I'll make people mad, so I'm not really going to do it. But, you know, on opening day when the likes of, like, Dan Roach and our own Matt McCarthy were, like, you know, crawled up in the fetal position,
yeah,
like, crying, wanting to die, I wanted to put out that gif of Jerry Seinfeld popping the popcorn into his mouth. Like, oh, that's a shame. Like, baseball.
I'm surprised. I mean, and there is a certain rhythm to it, and maybe if it goes and we get to the summer, because I'm just, maybe that's when I'm more used to dialing into it. I didn't think I'd feel this way, but, yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm like, eh.
Question number two. People are making quarantinis by mixing vitamin C with liquor. Would you make a quarantini, and what would you put in yours? What would be your liquor of choice for the quarantini, Chris?
I would make one because we're home. People aren't driving. I think that people are tending to imbibe more. What would I put in mine? I don't know. That's a great question. I like Kahlua. I probably would throw some Kahlua in there.
Vitamin C?
A little Kahlua. Some vitamin D, which they say is supposed to work. I have these chewable vitamin D. So Kahlua, I'll throw a chewable vitamin D in there and some of my cashew milk. Good to go.
Question number three, what's your most Alex Jonesian take? In other words, what's a conspiracy or kooky theory you believe in you're a little uncomfortable admitting in polite society?
The moon landing didn't happen.
Really? Okay, you're one of those. All right.
But I've waffled on that. I was very, very stout on that one, and then I watched this documentary that changed my mind. I was like, oh, there's no way they could have faked all this. But I have to admit, there's still like 30% of me that thinks they faked the whole thing.
The moon landing's fake, and the government's nothing but a bunch of potbellied perverts who worship Satan. I get it. I can understand why you think that is
technologically, it just blows my mind that they were able to do that during the late 60s, early 70s, as many times as they did. And with all the advances in technology, it's like we're not even close. That just doesn't add up to me.
I have more than a handful, but number one with a bullet with me is the Unabomber's Manifesto. It's brilliant and accurate, and you read that thing, and you're like, oh, this makes all the sense in the world. It's a shame that, you know, he had to kill people. But that manifesto he wrote, go read that thing. You're like, oh, he got all of this right, and how we're all addicted to our phones and stupid technology and how it's going to be the end of mankind. Question number four. If you had to pick one celebrity to be stuck at home with for the foreseeable future, who would you pick?
Jessica Alba.
You're married.
Oh. I don't know.
That's your answer.
Yeah, that really is my answer.
Yeah. Yeah, again, keeping in mind, married, I would go with someone funny. I need to be up. I need the laughs. Yeah. Hannibal Buress, John Mulaney, someone like that.
Well, but also Jessica Alba, because she has those delightful Honest Company products, including the hand sanitizer, which I own. So she'd be able to have all the I need wipes and all these cleaning things. Her company can produce that stuff.
I know what you really are here. Here's the vacuum. Here's these boy shorts. Get to work, and I'm going to watch. Finally, what's the one thing that you've had a bit too much of while quarantined so far?
The one thing I've had a bit too much of. Chocolate chip cookies. I'm eating way more sugar.
Yeah.
Too much sugar. Way too much white sugar. I can't. My wife keeps baking these delightful cookies. And I've tried, you know, we're trying like monk fruit sweetener and, you know, coconut sugar, and it's like gluten-free flour, but it doesn't matter because it's these giant chocolate chips in them, and it's like, I'm eating way too much sugar.
It also doesn't matter because who the hell cares what you look like right now? So sugar away. And I've had all the wine, and I'll continue to have all the wine starting in about an hour, too. That's going to do it for us, Chris Gasper, the Boston Globe. Read his flame-throwing columns. Chris has been hot last couple of weeks, going in on Bill and the Bruins. I love it. So read him at thebostonglobe.com. Pick up the actual paper as well. Chris, always a pleasure. Rob, for producing the show. It's going to do it for us. Talk to you Monday at 2 with Felger and Maz. Coming up next, Game 7, Bruins, Leafs from 2013. Take that rhyme or you bum. Enjoy. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.